listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Our topic today is motivating teens to discover their career passion. But before we get to our guest, I'm thrilled to have as my co-host today a former radio personality, having worked for stations from Mississippi to here in California, Melody Fox. Well, folks, she's now Dr. Melody Fox, and she has her doctorate in clinical psychology and currently is a California licensed psychologist and marriage and family therapist. She has worked for several nonprofit organizations focusing the last 14 years on teenagers, including high-risk youth, in the justice system, foster care, and in group homes. Wait, it can't be that long since I was listening to you on the radio. Well, most recently, Dr. Fox was the director of an adolescent school-based mental health program for a Los Angeles clinic and brought mental health services and teen support groups to local schools. Dr. Fox currently has a private practice in Newport Beach, California, that works with adults and their relationships, but specializes in working with teens and their families. Melody, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Alan. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you on here. And again, being someone who listened to you a few semesters ago.
Just a couple of years.
It is great to have you here. I think this is a great subject, and I know that you're working with a lot of teens, so I think this is a perfect match because we're really talking about career development for these teens.
Oh, sure, and they really need some guidance and some help in order to make those career options and even know what possibilities are out there for them.
Exactly, which brings us to our guest, and our guest today is Lisa Marquardt. Lisa has worked in career development for over 23 years. She has her degree in secondary education and is certified as a global career facilitator and in career pathways leadership. Lisa was personally trained by Dick Bowles, the author of What Color Is Your Parachute? Lisa has recently started her private practice, Career Intentions, to guide high school and college students, as well as other adults, to discover their career passion and purpose. Lisa, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be able to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I'm glad you're taking the time from, I guess, a little vacation or something in Idaho, is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's
beautiful here. Beautiful.
Absolutely. And actually, I miss getting up there. It used to be I would get up there probably about once a month or so, and I need to get back to that.
Yeah, I have a hard time leaving here. So yes, you definitely need to get back and visit.
All right. Well, I did a little checking just in regards to careers and to what's going on out there. And one of the things I found, and I noticed that according to MSNBC, more Americans hate their job than ever in the past 20 years, with less than half of them saying that they are career satisfied. What do you think we can do to change this?
Well, I think that what needs to happen is I think that people need to start to take a look at themselves and what their interests are, what their strengths are, what their talents are, and truly investigate the connections out there that they can make to find out more about how could those talents, interests, skills be utilized. And then I think another really, really vital step is to get some experience in that field, find out a little bit more about it, try it on, see if it truly is a good fit. I think what has happened traditionally is in high school, people will pick a career, and there's not a whole lot of exploration, there's not a whole lot of real investigation as to what is involved in that career, but they figure, you know, I'll get the training, I'll get the education, I'll get that job, and I'll make it work. and hopefully somewhere down the road, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, the job satisfaction will come. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work that way. And so what happens is then they start looking forward to retirement instead. So that's kind of the old career paradigm where you just pick a career out there and you go for it, and, you know, God forbid you should ever decide to change because that doesn't look so good. But I think nowadays what we have to do is we have to really stop, look at what our interests are and what skills and talents we can bring to the table and truly make a connection and find out where we have a good fit.
Well, in fact, I think Melody and I were talking about this just right before the show from the standpoint, as you say, the old paradigm. Melody was talking a little bit about the way in which it worked for her, you know, that you know, you're in high school, and I think, Melody, if you want to share with us, I think that, you know, one teacher pointed out something that she thought you were good at, and you ran with it.
Oh, sure.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and that was very true across the board. I know that my father thought that I should be a brain surgeon because I had good grades in school. Well, he didn't take into consideration that I would pass out at the sight of blood. So you have to weigh a lot of other factors in there, and oftentimes teachers, parents, you know, any other well-wishers for that child or student, they really are trying to look out for what is in the best interest of the individual, but they don't know the whole picture. I mean, honestly, we are the only ones that truly know all the things that we are good at, that we feel strong about, that we are truly interested in. So it really, you have to start with yourself, and outside advice is always nice, and you can always weave it into the total picture, but you really need to do the exploration within yourself, and if you want to get a good match.
I was just curious that if, along those lines, how could parents best learn to not put their wants and needs and desires for their child upon a child that doesn't have an interest in what they are, such as yourself of being a brain surgeon?
Right. You know, it's kind of a classic thing. You know, we try to do what is best for our children, absolutely. And we get an idea in our head of what we think that might be. But then what happens is we tend to, you know, get too focused on that, and then we do pass it off onto the child. And then because the parents are children's number one influence in their career decision-making, so the child will definitely run with it. I think what the parents truly need to do is they need to back away from what they think is the best thing and work with the child, be a support system, investigate, okay, look at what that child's passions are, what are their interests. And I always see this pattern. If you can go back to when a child is, you know, 4, 5, 10 years old and look at some of the things that they were part of their personalities and what their interests were at that time. So let's say a child was always the type that was taking things apart, or the type that had to have certain things in their place, or was really good at putting clothes together. I mean, there's just certain strengths that kids have from a very, very young age that we should not overlook. And generally, they continue throughout, you know, that person's life. So those are some strengths that you want to incorporate into your career because it's just an innate quality that you have.
Well, and I think that's a great thing, is be observant, know what your kids are doing, know what they're liking. And as we know, things change. I mean, things constantly change. But I think when you have parents pushing for a particular thing, like you said, I mean, I think that can lead to really dissatisfaction, even as it relates to going to college. And I noticed as I was, again, trying to pull up statistics and things, that there's an overwhelming almost 70% of college graduates returning home to live with their parents after unsuccessfully finding or meaningful or gainful employment. Now, of this 70% of college students that are returning home, what do you think the problem is, and how much of the problem do you think is the economy?
Well, you know, of course there's a big factor in the economy, and that's something that, you know, we can't do a whole lot about right now as far as trying to help college students with their career satisfaction or employment. However, I do believe that if the passion is strong and the interest is strong and the motivation is there, at least that college graduate or high school student will be willing to persevere the hurdles that they have to take to get to where they want to be. You know, I think the problem that we have with a lot of these students that are returning home unemployed and you know, dissatisfied is the fact that they are lacking motivation and direction because they don't know how to go about finding a career that matches their talents, interests, or skills. Again, following that old career paradigm where they didn't take a whole lot of exploration or time for it, then, you know, they just really haven't had the opportunity to find that match for them. And with the way that we are kind of mass-producing college-ready children, then that opportunity to do that exploration and to really kind of work with some of those skills and interests and see where there's a fit, there's not a whole lot of time for that. You know, it's really more about what's your GPA, what are your test scores looking like, you know, the academic world. So what I think is really important is taking those academic skills, interests, talents, and getting some application to them so that the student that's going on to college or going into the world of work or whatever is they feel that drive, they feel that motivation to push through even, you know, the discouraging times that they may have to encounter, but hopefully eventually they will stick with it and they will still be able to get to where they want to be down the road.
And I was just curious, Lisa, on how do you and your program helps the teens find that career path that does support their passion, their talents, their abilities, and their interests so they can get motivated and persevere towards that career?
Well, I think the first thing that I always start with the passion, and that takes some time. It definitely takes some time. Like I said, I think that kids have been so absorbed in the requirements of graduating from high school and what they need to get into college and, you know, the leadership things that they need to participate in. A lot of times that's not coming from them so much. It's all about what they're going to need to get into college because that's the message they've gotten from the time they've gone to school is that they have to go to college. And of course, college is important, but it's instead of it being, where are you going to college? I think the question needs to be, why are you going to college? So I think there needs to be some time taken with that, and I always sit down and take some time and investigate. Like I said, what are some of the things you've always been interested in? What are some of the things that you get lost in, absorbed in, and you can't pull yourself away from? What have you always wanted to know more about? You know, and we work through some of that. And again, we look at, like, what are those innate strengths that you have. You know, like some people are extremely good at organizing things. Some people are extremely good at communicating. Some people are very intuitive. So look at some of those factors as well. And, you know, just do some exploration. Look at what are some of the fields that are out there. What are some of the college programs you could look at instead of it, you know, like immediately focusing in on one that was recommended to you or came up on a paper pencil test. You know, flip through a college catalog. Which of those different fields draw your interest and look at the courses that are involved in there. So it can be kind of, you can look at the whole picture of what might be a part of what could happen for you. So we work on that. We come to the point where we get, you know, some information that looks like a pretty good picture. The student's starting to get excited about, you know, wow, this does feel like a good fit for me, or no, I definitely want to move forward and find out more about this. And then what we do is take the opportunity to make some connections. Okay, who employs people with those skills or interests? What are some of the different markets that might be something to tap into? What are some of the different jobs that you could pursue and follow through on? And then I really think it's important to speak with someone, as many people as you can, that are employed in that area or have a connection in that area, who might know somebody else that could you know, give you some more advice or be a mentor to you to provide some more information. But again, so that individual gets a connection between what they have a burning interest in or some skills or talents in, and who's out there that would employ them using them. And then, again, like I said, another thing that can happen by making those connections with people in those career areas is, well, what kind of an internship might you be able to do there? Or could you get a part-time job working there? Could you, you know, find yourself just doing a job shadow even, just to get some real-world experience in that field and trying it on and seeing if that does feel like a good fit?
Well, Lisa, that is some great advice. In fact, I'm sold, so I want to set an appointment right away so that we can talk about what I'm going to do when I grow up, okay?
Exactly, Alan. You know, I hear that every single day from people from every single age, is that I don't really know what I want to do yet. And, you know, unfortunately, it's really kind of an epidemic that so many people are feeling that way when it doesn't matter really where you are in your career or lack of a career. You know, it's really important if you're really not happy with what you're doing or you feel that you have a purpose that you haven't quite tapped into, to go ahead and look at it. Just, you know, take some steps. It doesn't mean you have to quit your current job, or it doesn't mean you have to, you know, make a whole life-changing decision right now, but it definitely is worthwhile to take some time to explore it. See how difficult of a shift would it be to actually move into something that you want to do. Maybe you could do it part-time. Maybe you could do it as a volunteer. Maybe you could do it recreationally. But if everybody is feeling this, well, this 45% of people that are the only ones that are truly satisfied and everybody else isn't, there's a lot of things that can be done and a lot of things that can be looked at to correct that.
Well, and you're right, and that speaks volumes. And actually, I want to bring in a listener question because I think it touches a little bit on some of the challenges that parents go through. And it sort of, I think, shines a light on how involved do they need to get, and at what point are they helping their child, or at what point are they maybe steering them away from their passion. And this listener sent in an email that says, "My son, who is a senior in high school, was on track to enter college next year on a basketball scholarship that would have completely funded his education. Last month, he said he decided not to attend a four-year college, but instead to go to a vocational school for auto mechanics. He claims that there is nothing that college will bring him that will fulfill his passions. Therefore, he wants to work on cars now and go to college later if the auto repair education does not work out the way he expects it will. My husband and I are in shock, both feeling that a college education is important. What is your recommendation in our next discussions with our son?"
Well, I always maintain that a college education is something that is attainable at any point in an individual's life. I would be curious as to what brought about this interest in auto mechanics. Is it something that's always been there? Is it something that just kind of came up? Has he investigated it? Has he, like I said, I'm all about experiencing something to make sure it's a good fit for the individual in practice. So oftentimes, if you read about something and it sounds good on paper, in real life it's not necessarily the same thing. So I guess that would be, I would take time to explore what brought about this shift, how long has it been there, how determined is he to do it, and is there an opportunity for him to explore that? And like I said, college is something that, you know, with online classes and, you know, the abundance of opportunities in so many different fields, there's always the opportunity to pursue that degree. And, you know, you never know if this young man has this interest in auto mechanics, where that might lead him. He, you know, he can continue on with that into engineering, whatever. Maybe he just needs the hands-on opportunity to get to know a little bit more about that field. So, you know, that would be my recommendation, is to stop, sit down and really dialogue with the young man and find out, you know, where did that passion come from, and, you know, walk him through. It sounds like he's pretty committed to it, because hopefully he's realizing that there are some consequences to this decision that he's making. So well, I truly believe, my perspective is, it's got to come from the individual. And I know as parents, sometimes it's very difficult to let go, but I think it takes some time, and it's a collaborative effort. It's something that you work through as a family. And again, I think that sometimes parents have to take a step back and provide the support without necessarily driving the bus.
Well, okay, and that's kind of, I mean, that's great for the parents, because again, that's the parent answering the question, and it sounds like it's sort of a partnership that needs to be developed between the parent and the child in the process. What can the child do that wants to do something and their parents are just not on board?
Well, I guess it's one of those things that I think communication is vital to this and crucial, and I think that even as parents, we have to stop to realize that there have been times in our lives when, in our hearts, we have known that something was right for us, and perhaps it didn't necessarily seem so in other people's perspectives. So I think you have to look at where is the drive coming from, and how investigated has the decision been. So I think that that's the thing, that you have to get both sides of the partnership to be able to communicate with one another and come to a common ground where the decision is mutually supported. So, you know, and that's tough on both parts. But again, it's another family issue that, you know, that communication can help drive. But to me, my perspective is that the child is the one that's going to be living the life, and they're going to be the one that's going to be committing their hours on a daily basis to their career, and they're going to be the ones at the end of the day that will either feel a job satisfaction or not feel a job satisfaction. So sometimes I think it goes back to the individual that's actually going to be participating. And you have to look at the age of the child and the maturation and things like that as well, definitely. But again, I think parents need to help guide the child and not necessarily make the decision for the child.
Well, let me ask a question that has been asked of me over the years. And again, when we're working with some of the kids, either from an intervention standpoint or someone that we're transporting, and the parent will say afterwards, well, my child says that they want to do, because when, and we ask the question, I mean, you know, what does your child want? We want to be able to bond with them. And the parent will say something like, well, you know, my child wants to be a, an international movie star, you know, or, you know, my child wants to be, mm-hmm. you know, a top rock star. Mm-hmm. And at what point does a parent continue to help them with that, or to point out that this isn't very realistic at this time in your life? I get this from parents, and the parent sometimes will say, well, you know, they said that they're going to be an international rock star, but I told them that's ridiculous. Well, you know, do we want to cut it off that quickly, or is there a better way that we can point out to them, here are the steps that you need to do to get to that point, you know,
right.
and how long is the parent going to continue to support them before they say, okay, you didn't finish A, B, and C, I'm not going to continue to pay for all of these other things when you're not doing your part. What would be your answer to the parent with that question?
Well, you know, I did have a son who wanted to be a rock star, so I can relate to this one especially well. And, you know, honestly, what I did was I let him follow it as long as he could. I supported him. I attended when he was playing at the Roxy and Whiskey A Go-Go. And I believe that if it's truly their passion and it's, you know, where their talents are, they will get to where they want to be. Now, you're right, absolutely. There needs to be parameters that, okay, well, so you need to investigate something that's realistic for you now. You know, to say you're going to be an international rock star, it sounds great, but what are you going to do right now to get yourself there? And to get them to start investigating it. I mean, like with my son, he got to Whiskey, got to play the Roxy, which was wonderful, but he also began to see how competitive it was, how difficult it was going to be, how what the challenges were. So he made the decision that his musical career would become a recreational activity for him. So he made that decision based upon his experience. And again, that's, I think, experience is something that you have to draw upon. I don't have a problem with parents having set standards for what that they think is acceptable as far as what would that pathway look like for the child. Or how about having, if you want to go into being an international rock star, well, maybe what are some other things they might be interested in? Do they have a good business mind? Would they be somebody that maybe could do some more of the marketing or promotion? Is there another avenue that supports going into that field that maybe isn't being that rock star per se? So they can still be involved in that world, but maybe with a little bit more tangible career objectives that, again, they could sit down and talk through with the parent and say, you know, well, you know, these are some of the other skills that you have that maybe would support being in that environment, and maybe you will work yourself into that international rock star position. But for now, what are some steps we could take to, you know, meet both of our objectives and having a realistic career goal for you?
And I was just curious on how much personality plays a role into that. People want to be an international rock star, whatever, but it takes a lot of perseverance, a lot of hard work, a lot of no's before you get the yes, just like with actors. And not everybody's set up with that tenacity to be able to take those rejections, and they go different paths or they have poor coping skills and then end up going in a downward spiral. So how much does personality play into this role of finding their career?
Oh, I think that it's got a huge role in, and that is definitely one of the things that I like to take a look at. You know, are you the introverted type? Are you the extroverted type? Do you, you know, are you the type that will stick with it? And can you take the hits? And, you know, that is definitely a huge part of it. And especially in something that is, as challenging and as competitive as something in the, you know, entertainment industry, you know, frequently dealing with high school students, they all want to be professional athletes. And many of them have not even started playing the sport yet in high school. So the problem is that they've got kind of a skewed perspective of what that life is like, and they just look at kind of the benefits of being able to play something that you love and, you know, reaping huge financial gain from it. But they don't necessarily know, like you said, all of the blows to the ego or the steps that you have to take to be able to get there. And a lot of it is who you know as well. So I think that's always something to take into consideration. And again, that's where the exploration and the investigation of looking and talking to people in the industry can give, you know, an adolescent or young adult a different perspective that can open their eyes to the fact that things aren't all that easy. But it's truly got to be, I mean, that's why I'm so committed to connecting young people with somebody who's out there, who's lived it, who can tell them, you know, yes, this is, you know, something that you want to hang on to. This is something that you want to do. This is what could help you. Or, you know, these are some of the bumps that you got to take along the way and give them that perspective. Because sometimes when it comes from the parent or a teacher or someone else in that, you know, kind of the child's world,
Right. They
can take that more defensively, like, oh, you don't have the confidence in me to do it. But if they hear it from somebody that's not emotionally attached to them, they can take it with a little bit more, you know, a different perspective.
Yeah, I was going to say that is right on target. And I think that fits with a lot of things. It's not just this. It's most anything. Once they become a teenager, this giant needle comes down and sucks half our brain out as parents. and we need to bring somebody else in that is an expert in that area. You know, we're going to take a break. We are talking with Lisa Marquardt. Her company is Career Intention. Our subject is motivating teens to discover their career passion. We will be back. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about mentors and internships. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Our co-host today is Dr. Melody Fox, and we're talking about motivating teens to discover their career passion. Lisa, when we took a break, we were talking a little bit about mentors and internships. Tell us a little bit about maybe what we as parents can do to help to get that, tell us about some of the things that you do that allows them to connect with the person that might be able to show them either how to move forward with something that's their passion, or maybe they end up learning that that's not really going to work for them once they get the whole picture.
Exactly. Well, basically, like I said, I think the first thing is to have a basis from which to work from, where the child has a career of interest in mind, say, or a field. So be it engineering or health or education, whatever. Then the next thing to do would be to find some individuals that are in that career area and to make that connection. So one of the nice things about doing that is, so let's say that the adolescent has an uncle or an aunt who is in engineering, then they would maybe take an opportunity to just go and sit down and say, what are some of the things that you love about what you do? What are some of the things that you would recommend I do? What are some of the areas of within engineering that you see, as growing and thriving? And, just sit down and talk about it. And how did you get to where you want to be? What was your career path like? I think that is so important. For parents, people in business and industry, with internships being really on the rise now, and high schools and colleges are encouraging it, which I think is really, really an important step, for that relationship to be developed, where we sit down and we say, okay, we as adults who have been in the working world and we do love what we do, we have got so much information to share with these young individuals that are looking at their career future, and it's so broad and vast that they really can't quite pinpoint what it is that they want to do, or they don't know how to get there. So it's kind of bridging that gap between, the voice of experience to the voice or the minds of those that are not experienced and don't know how to get there. And so to begin that dialogue, it is so enlightening to young adults to say, oh, okay, so it wasn't clear as a bell to you when you were my age. And I know that, from my perspective, when I was 17, 18 years old, I thought I was literally the only person on the planet that did not know what I wanted to do career-wise. I thought it was something everybody was just programmed to know. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the big things that I see students struggling with the most is that they feel like there's something wrong because they don't know what it is they're supposed to do and they don't know how to go about doing it. So, you know, like I said, to kind of establish somewhere to start talking to with individuals that are in that career field, get some more information. You know, maybe that person might enlighten the young adult to, well, have you thought about this? If your strengths are, you know, here and your talents are here and your interests are here, have you thought about this? That might send them on to someone else who's a little bit closer to their career passion or their career purpose. And finally, when they do make a connection with someone, and then just to say, do you mind if could I volunteer my time and come in and learn more about what is done in this field? Or, you know, are there any part-time jobs available? And one of the other things that I have to say that's makes it difficult for students is a lot of them have not worked yet. A lot of them Right. have gotten all the way through college and they've never worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to know what you want to do if you haven't actually been out there and applied those skills and that knowledge that you've learned in the classroom. It can be very disillusioning if you haven't had a chance to practice. And then a lot of kids go on to get their master's degree when, again, they haven't done any real-world work in that field. So then they're just taking themselves further down a path that they may be disillusioned with down the road.
Exactly.
So I think it's a matter of, you know, keeping the communication open, keep on knocking on doors, talking with relatives, friends, you know, any trusted individual that could open their eyes to what career possibilities might be a good fit for them. And then driving it home by saying, is there some way I could get some actual experience with this to find out a little bit more?
Well, let's do this. Why don't you walk us through? Let's kind of get a picture. I was going to say close your eyes, but if you're driving out there, don't do that. Kind of walk us through a little bit about your practice from the standpoint of what it is that you are able to do, and is it more individualized or is it more workshop based? How much of it is now like computerized testing? So, you know, do you have a situation to where there's some testing that's going on and you have kids that are now being told you seem to have a great aptitude and a passion for something and they look at it and go, wow, I never thought of that, you know, and all
right.
of a sudden now they're excited about it because, you know, they may have really kind of at some level kind of liked it, but never really thought they had the aptitude to go for it. So maybe mm-hmm. walk us through so that now you have parents out there that are, and hopefully, because school hasn't started yet, you have some young people out there that are listening that can say, wow, okay, if I do that, here are some of the things that I'm going to gain from this.
Basically, there are a lot of interest inventories out there. There's a lot of ways to look at what skills are, what talents are, and, you know, again, to kind of bring it home to, well, what careers use that. And there should be, at that point, there should be a real strong desire and a strong interest to learn more about it and to dig a little bit deeper. And so, like, and that takes a lot of time. And the one thing that I do see frequently with students, because there hasn't been a whole lot of emphasis on looking at the application of skills and interests to the world of work, it takes time, and it takes some digging, and it takes some patience. So that's the first thing I want to say, is it's not going to just, you can't just pull out a paper pencil assessment and expect a bingo hit right away. And I see students they put so much into these paper pencil assessments, only to have them delivered to them when they're scored, and watch them just have this disillusioned, crushed look on their face, like, really? That's not at all something that I think I'd be interested in.
Okay.
So it takes some digging, and there are some things probably in that interest inventory or assessment that, you know, would be, that is valid, but it's a matter of taking some time. It takes somebody to sit down with them and truly talk through it. And so that dialoguing part has to start. that has to be there right away. So,
So let me see if I've got it. So to start out with, then, and again, just sort of walk through. Okay, you know, here I'm Alan Cardoza. I'm 15 years old at this point, and my parents have brought me to you and said, you know what, he doesn't know what he's going to do. You know, last week he was going to race motorcycles, and this week he's going to, you know, answer phones at a modeling studio, and tomorrow he thinks he's going to be an actor, and, you know, a month ago, you know, he thought he was going to travel around the world as a photographer. So at that point, so now I'm seated in front of you. I'm this 15-year-old. As you said, so you're going to talk to us. You're going to, in dialogue, you're going to pull out some of the real interests and find out maybe why it is I like those things. Why do you want this? And you find out, well, he's 15 mm-hmm. years old. He wants to do whatever he thinks can impress girls. So now you have to dig through that and go, okay, now what is this that he really wants to do and that will probably stay with him until he's 18, 20, or 30 years old? Where do you go from there? I mean, at that point, are you sitting down, you know, you are doing some testing, and then you're talking to them and you're trying to match the things that are being said as a passion with the things that that come up as a true aptitude? So again, what I'm saying is, if you know, walk us through as if you're, you know, you're talking to the teenagers in the audience, but also the parents out there that are kind of racking their brain going, I don't know what to do.
Right. Well, I think when you get an individual that's all over the map like that, first of all, I think it's a positive because they are thinking through what are some possibilities. And in order for you to come up with a really good fit, you have to be able to look at what all the options are for you and why are you attracted to them and, you know, what is it that, how far could you go with it and do you really want to? So, you know, I know parents get really disillusioned because their 15-year-old hasn't quite figured that out. But so what I would do in working with an individual like that would be, okay, so let's identify all the things that you've indicated that you are interested in, and let's talk about that. And then where would you ultimately want to go with this? And then we would prioritize. Okay, so let's take, you've got your top four choices here. Which one is your first choice? And then we would look at, okay, so what skills would you be able to use there? What talents would you be able to use there? And, you know, how would you utilize those in the world of work? So then, of course, a 15-year-old would probably not know the answer to that question. So then that's when we start doing a little bit of digging. We might get on the internet and start Googling, you know, okay, so let's say photographer, international photographer. So start Googling who does that. Who are some of the photographers out there? Check on their websites. What are some of the jobs they do? Then you might look at some of the programs that you might take at, a 15-year-old could, you know, start taking some classes in photography, things like that to again, it's instead of it just being a nebulous career that popped into their head, that sounded good, somebody recommended, got to take it one step further. Explore it. What training would you need? What education do you need? Is that sound like, and then you look at it, what are some of the courses you could take? So maybe the 15-year-old takes a class in the photography. How did that feel? Was that a good thing? How was the quality of your work? Are you willing to stick with it? So it's, again, it's not something that you come in and you sit down and, you know, within a couple of hours time, you've got it nailed. It's a matter of allowing time to explore it, dig into it, find out more about it. Again, tap into who's a photographer out there in the community that person could talk to about how did they get to where they are? What steps could they take to get, you know, some more exposure and more experience with that? And where might they ultimately go with it? So it's, you know, it's really always, to me, it always comes down to you've got to be able to get some experience in it to be able to drive yourself closer to where you want to be. So maybe that 15-year-old, you know, looks at some of the courses, what are some of the career objectives they might be able to accomplish? And then they say, you know, no, that it just really doesn't sound like a good fit to me. Then, you know, you go back and you look at some of the other things that have come up. And you look at those and explore those. What has happened with the old career paradigm was that you just pick photography and you go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how people end up disillusioned and dissatisfied. I'm all about what is it right now that's driving that bus inside you. If your passion and your interest keeps moving you forward within that career area, then you're on the right track. But if you're into the field and you're all of a sudden, you know, you're talking to someone or you're doing an internship and you're starting to go, you know, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be, that's the time that you say, okay, well, what did I enjoy out of this experience? Maybe it's the artistic ability. Maybe it's the ability to kind of be a freelance person. Maybe you actually enjoyed setting up the design components more than actually snapping the pictures. So
right.
It's the experience of getting into whatever that starting place was, and how do you steer yourself from there?
Yep. No, that makes perfect sense. And actually, and we have now, we've got a listener comment coming in over the email right now. And I say comment because it's not really a question. I think it's more praise. This says, 2 years ago, I was laid off from my position as a high school teacher. I had been teaching a range of subjects, none of which, in my opinion, inspired my students to consider their talents and potential career options, whether or not they attended college. It says, in my opinion, the majority of teachers have virtually no concept of what it is like out there in the business world. I know that I didn't until I was forced to enter that world myself. Now the proud owner of a successful business, I was probably never, it says, oh, I will probably never return to teaching. But I reflect on how differently I would teach my classes now that I have obtained an entirely new set of skills and experiences. I am excited that your program is addressing this area and this gap, and I hope that your program lights a fire in school systems around the country as it is so very needed.
And Lisa,
I applaud that individual because, and I hope that, is it a woman or a man?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Well, whatever. You know what? That is one of the things that is so vital is in the classroom for teachers to be able to make connections with what they're teaching so that the students see the relevance of the world of work and that they will, students always want to know, what's in this for me? And that's the one beauty about career development, and that's where the one opportunity that the student can personalize it, say, you know what, I am good at this skill, I want to use it more often, here's where I will be able to use it down the road in the world of work. And, you know, the fact that this individual has been in the classroom, gone into the world of work, and then going back, that is really something that can be so helpful for teachers if they want to help their students with their career development, is to get out into the workplace and find out what it is. The education world is entirely different than the world of work. We get in a little education bubble, and we're all about teaching kids, you know, skills and knowledge, which is granted what teachers are supposed to do, but the application out there in the real world is so different than the education world. So that's one of the best things a teacher can do is to do an externship. Go out and just like the students are doing internships, go out and find out what it is that those students are going to be expected to do when they get into the world of work.
Right. Lisa,
and help
Lisa,
them get there.
I know, Lisa, we only have a couple minutes here, but I want to ask you real quick, how do you work with teens who don't feel like they have any talent, interest, or ability, or they refuse to accept they have anything?
Okay, and Lisa, again, before you answer, if you can answer that, but we also want you to tell us how people can get in touch with you. And again, we've got about a minute and a half.
Okay, you know what, and I'm sorry, Melody, cut out, I didn't hear the question.
I was just curious about the teens that don't feel like they have any interest, talents, or abilities, or even if you point them out or help guide them towards it, that they refuse to accept that about themselves.
And Lisa, actually?
Everybody has a strength and talent. We all have them. We just have to take some time to find them.
All right. And Lisa, thank you. Hold on. Lisa, we're about to run out of time. But again, I just want to tell everybody, if you have additional questions, they can go to careerintention.com. If you have any other questions for Lisa, or if you weren't able to write that down because you're driving, you can always go to the answers, numeral 4, thefamilyblog.com. Send the question in to us. We will get it to Lisa. Lisa, thank you. I'm so sorry we have run out of time, but it's because we had so much good information. Everybody, have a great week. Everybody, have a great week. And,
thanks, Sam.
And do everything you can to seek to catch someone doing something good. We're out of here.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Melody.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.